a chick. So say goodbye to everything you ever knew before. And I'd understand if you went running out the door. And I'll keep you safe, and no harm will ever come to you, I swear. And I'll kill if they even dare.
Hi, Your Highness.
Song never gets old.
I love it.
Never.
I love those guys. I miss them so much.
Ever gets old.
Yeah.
Leonardis Boot, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Sun is shining.
It's a beautiful morning.
Bees floating around those Hawaiian-looking flowers out there.
Birds are chirping. Yeah.
What are those?
It's beautiful. Again? I think they're hibiscus.
Yes, they are. Hibiscus.
Beautiful. Yeah. So what you been up to? Anything cool?
You know, No, just not working.
Oh.
Trying to be human. You know, all the things.
Seems to be working for you.
It is.
It's nice.
Welcome to Michigan Murders and Music, where we discuss murders in our gorgeous state, and we top it off with a little homegrown music, leaving you with a happy ending and on a good note.
We have some
Bam.
New listeners. And first of all, you know what? Thank you for letting us seep into your
You know
ears.
What? Cheers to them letting us.
Darn right.
This is coffee, by the way. Seeping into your earballs is very kind of you.
Mm-hmm. So these new listeners, I've got a few here. Tyler Kuiper.
April Durham.
Marie Waltz.
Heezy.
Do you have more? Because I have Old Buds.
Andrew Patrick.
Okay. Old Buds. We've got Roger Schultz.
Yeah, boy.
By the way, Roger Schultz is an amazing graphic designer. He is the one that designed our logos.
Our
stickers.
Yep, he did the
t-shirts,
Michigan
all that stuff.
State stickers. Yeah, it's great.
He's a good guy. I like him.
Also, you guys, I wanted to tell you there's a fly buzzing around me. That's not what I wanted to tell you, but it's gonna be a recurring thing.
You know where the fly swatter is, don't you?
Yeah, up your
Go
ass.
Get it. No, you. It's not.
Oh
That's
my god,
not where it is.
You guys follow True Crime Orlando _ Nightmare on TikTok or Instagram if you want to see the craziest, most fucked up things people do. Every day I'm like, I can't even believe someone did this.
Ooh.
It's insane. You'll love it.
I have one more old bud.
Oh, shit.
It's Kelsey Nicole.
Oh, hi, Kelsey. And we were trying to figure out, like, what do we want to call the people who are financially helping us, right? We didn't want to call you, like, subscribers or, you know.
Donors.
We did think of donors, though, because it is kind of murder.
So we went to the thesaurus to literally
hey,
to
man,
find better words.
You got to use your sources.
Yeah.
We decided that you're going to be our sugar mamas and our sugar daddies.
Yeah.
Ah!
I'd do that.
So my biggest thanks to somebody who I'll never forget because she broke our sugar mama cherry is Emily Richardson. Thank you, Emily. You literally helped pay to put this podcast out on the airwaves.
Yeah, it matters.
It is huge. We appreciate you. Yeah. Long time.
Your Highness, may I do an explicit content warning?
Oh, you freaking better. Oh, there's a little chihuahua at my ankles.
Well, you better pick her up and hold her. Oh, so pretty.
Bianca Bean Delano.
So Her Highness is going to say a lot of naughty words, say things that are very offensive to most people. And you definitely don't want your children listening to any of this stuff. So get them out of the room. Put your headphones on. Whatever you need to do.
Put headphones on them.
Yep. Also, if your kid has a stash of burner phones.
Why are burner phones even legal?
I don't know.
For Christ's sake.
I don't know. Is it even still a thing?
Yes. Yes. Okay. They are still a thing.
Well, he has a whole bunch of them. Some brand new, unopened. And a whole stash of used ones that he's not smart enough to just disappear, you know, throw in the river or whatever.
Your kid.
You might want to keep an eye on this kid.
I think he's up to something.
Something no good. It can't be good. Not productive.
They are untraceable, those burner phones.
By the way, Your Highness.
Yeah.
get a dry erase marker with a really fine tip.
Is that on your old school notebook there?
It's right here on my
I'll do that. I'll add it to the Meyer list, all right?
Yeah, the one you screwed up on majorly this morning.
Shut your mouth, boot.
Okay.
We would like to keep our podcast commercial free and independent. So if you are feeling a little tipsy, please go to our website, MichiganMurdersMusic.com. You can find the tipsy jar. You can buy us a coffee. You can buy merch. That helps. Or you can be like Sugar Mama Emily and help fund the podcast on a monthly basis.
Share us with a friend. If you know somebody that might be interested
in
this.
Stick us in their earbuds.
Or even if they're not, just spark their interest.
Just take your earbud and just sneak by them and just shove it in their ear and then run away. Don't even say listen to it. Just do it. Just
they got this stuck in their ear.
Sneakily do it like a ninja.
Well, they wouldn't notice.
Already have us planned. Just like that. And then run away.
And you can email us.
All of a sudden, they'll hear us in their brain.
Yeah, email us. Great. Please
email us. I love getting your guys' feedback. It makes my damn day. Boot.
Yes.
Throw up your hand.
We're going to this section of Michigan right here.
Which is
where the thumb ring goes. If you wear thumb rings, some people do. It's weird to me, but hey, whatever.
Are you giving people a hard time for wearing thumb rings?
Yes.
Oh, you're such an asshole. What?
What?
I mean, they could be wearing toe rings too.
Yeah, they could have pineapples upside down on their front porch.
Good Lord.
Yep.
That's where we're going. We're going to Lapeer, Michigan.
They have pineapples upside down on their front porches.
Everybody does. Don't you know that?
Well, I do. I just wait till you're out on. I want to go sit by the river.
Why do you think I ask you to go for a bike ride all the time, dude?
Oh, my God.
God, shut up.
Are you serious?
Tonight, we're talking about.
we just became best friends. I was trying to hide that from you, and you were trying to hide it from me.
I don't know what to say right now.
This morning, we are going to feature a band.
A happy ending.
As a happy ending. They're called Cougarin.
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 The song's called Little Sister. I like it.
It's really, really good.
I was surprised how much I liked it, dude.
I know. We need to mix up our music some. Mm-hmm. So give you some Cougarin at the end of this for your happy ending. And we think you'll enjoy them.
So we're featuring on this story, Kenneth Carl Grondin the third.
Kenneth Carl the third is a graduate from Lakeview. Damn it. I want to say Lakeview because
it's right here.
That's where I was born in a barn in Lakeview.
Yeah.
It's Lakeville High School.
You know, I wondered why you smelled like a pig. You were born in a barn. Ow.
Oh, don't chew that. She's going to chew it. There's going to be marker everywhere. Oh, sorry about that, guys. I need to throw something in boot.
She hit me, too.
For approximately 7 months, Kenneth Carl III had been dating a nice young lady named Andrea Eibler.
The two of them worked at a local Kroger grocery. Kroger. Yeah, we don't have Kroger over here. Uh-uh. We have, it's not Great
Day. We have Family Fair. And Meyer.
Yeah. Kenneth had just graduated high school, and I believe that Andrea was in her senior year.
Mm-hmm.
In that fall of 2011, Kenneth Carl was enrolled and taking classes through the Flint campus of the University of Michigan.
I like to have those remote campuses now where you can.
Yeah, Ferris has them down here.
Yeah,
U of M
has some in Grand Rapids.
Western does too.
Also, yeah. So yeah, it's really cool that they have those opportunities for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea was Kenneth Carl's first real girlfriend, so the two of them were pretty inseparable.
I remember those
all
days.
Puppy love and stuff, kind of
love you,
kind of crazy too, for each boo. Other. I love you too, boo. I'm gonna put a letter in your locker.
It's pretty sweet.
It is. Andrea was damn near an adult, right? So her aunt and uncle asked her to watch their house while they went on vacation in November of 2011.
The house was located on Kings Mill Road, just north of Lapeer, about 10 to 15 minutes from where they live. You know what, in Michigan? We judge distance by time, not, not by miles.
Yeah. So as the crow flies.
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes from here. Yeah.
Does everybody say that about their state? Or
maybe.
Because, you know, we're always like, you know, in Michigan, we say, yeah, no, no, yeah. What if they do that in a lot of states and we just think it's just us?
Do they?
I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't make us special.
The first couple of nights, Andrea, Kenneth Carl, and their friend Cody Crum had a sleepover at the house that she was house sitting. Probably partied a little bit, you know.
They were probably having a riot. Their age, they probably didn't drink. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe somebody found something for them. But they partied in their own way, watching movies,
eating pizza. I don't know what they did.
Just goofing around, having fun.
I'm hoping they didn't do what I would have done at their age.
Yeah,
I mean,
me
goddamn,
too.
Goddamn, they're seniors in high school and ones. God, I hope it was very innocent. Yeah, I hope it was absolutely not. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Your Highness, did you seriously just lift your cheek like you were going to fart?
No, I thought that's what you were doing over there. You kept leaning over. I was like, did you see me look at you? I was like, what is he doing? Is he getting ready to release some air on his leg? The young couple decided on November 13th that they were going to part ways and go get their own stuff done. It was only going to be for like a day, though.
Oh, but so hard to be away from each other.
And they're in this house that they're like house sitting, so they're kind of like playing house. You know how that is.
Yep,
it's like, come over, let's act like it's our house.
We'll drink
beer and have sex.
A lot of sex.
Lots of sex.
And naughty stuff.
Upside down pineapples.
I know Kenneth Carl had chores to do at his house, and I'm not sure if she had to go to work or what. We just know that they agreed to spend the day apart, so they did their own things.
The two of them planned to spend the next night together alone. No friends involved this time. They flipped the pineapple back up.
Back up, right side up.
So the two of them had planned to spend the night alone together that night with no friends.
Mm-hmm.
They flipped their pineapple back upright. Mm-hmm. And they were really looking forward to it because it was barrel chicken. It's just going to be the two of them.
So I gotta get hormones. This right in my head. If your pineapple is upside down, it's okay for people to come over. And
But
if it's right side up, they
No, you're straight. Don't come over.
Just don't come over. It's not time.
Not time.
You're unclean.
No, we're not swingers. I don't know what the fuck it means.
Okay, me either.
Jesus Christ, I'm just playing. The two of them were really looking forward to the night alone, boo. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right there.
Remember being 18 and 19?
Oh, when man. You the boners just wouldn't
get
end.
Enough fucking sex. Yeah,
they just wouldn't end. Jesus, you get rid of one and then
Christ.
There's another one.
I tell ya. Get rid of one.
Boing. Just takes a few minutes. That's gone for a minute.
That evening, around 6:30, Andrea sent Kenneth Carl a text message asking him to meet her at the house around 6:30, at the house that they were house-sitting.
Kenneth Carl realizes that he better put down the video game controller and get the dishes and chores
it's
done.
True.
Or his mom would have his hide.
That's not even an assumption. He was literally
real
playing
quick.
Video games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. It's just the
it's
way.
A thing.
He was relaxing. It's what he does.
Sure.
I smoke weed. He plays video games. So he actually doesn't leave his house until around 7:30 to go over to the house sitting place. And when he pulls into the driveway, it's looking like she's not there. The house is dark and her car is gone. So he's like, what the fuck?
Things are going to get
girl,
weird.
Girl, where are you?
Kenneth Carl knocks on the door and there's no answer.
Being in the day of cell phones and texting, Kenneth Carl texts Andrea and was like, I'm here, babe. Where and how are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like you would do. I'd be like, where the fuck are you? I'm here. We're supposed to be here.
And she replied, either she did or somebody else did. It's kind of sketchy this early in the game, but seems like somebody else probably had her phone. She replied saying, sorry, babe, I can't meet you. Catch you tomorrow. just a few minutes after he sent his text. So she immediately replied to him. Yeah,
it was, you know, he sent his text, "Word to how are you?" And hers came really quick after that. Mm-hmm. So he kind of waited around for her and sat on the porch. I don't know. This was kind of like before the texting, I think. He kind of waited around the house mm-hmm. to see if she would show up.
Jesus.
Dude, that was me.
That sounded like it hurt a little bit.
It was the chair vibrating. Okay. It didn't hurt. It's
I
okay.
I felt it through the floor. It feels nice.
Thanks. Thank you. Champion. Thank you very much. I'll eat more beans here all week. Try the veal. So before the I'll catch it tomorrow text, he had kind of hung out there for a while, I guess, at the house. Mm-hmm. Then he gets the catch it tomorrow text, and he's like, all right, fine. I'm out. That was like at 8:15 at night that he got that text. So, you know, he hung out there probably about a half hour maybe before the texting shit went on.
Then he canceled his plans for the night.
She did.
Oh.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. That was obviously upsetting to Kenneth Carl because they were both looking so forward to this time together. I think he might have felt slighted.
Well, it was probably, you know, bounce chicken.
He was looking forward to some of that, yeah.
Kenneth Carl then goes over to the Kroger grocery store where they all work, and he kind of dumped on a co-worker named Brittany Stacy about Andrea canceling their movie date and stuff.
It sounds like Brittany Stacy might have had an interest in this guy, but we're not going down that road.
We are not going to judge, but she was like, well, dude, I'm getting out of work. Do you want to come to my house and watch the movies instead? She could just be a friend. I'm not judging you, Brittany. It can go both ways. We don't know. She could be being sketchy, or she could be just being a nice girl. This kid's heartbroken.
We don't know.
We don't
so
fucking know.
They did. They went.
Yeah, he went.
They left Kroger. So they did. They left Kroger around 9:30, and they stopped at a gas station for some munchies. Your Highness. Why didn't they just buy munchies at the Kroger?
I really don't know. Maybe they didn't have the right kind of munchies. I know it's weird. Why would? Maybe she had to get gas and they got munchies too. But I read was that they stopped to get munchies. I think they should have got it from Kroger. But maybe they couldn't buy it because they're employees and there's no manager. Who knows? I don't know.
It could be.
Meanwhile, Andrea is supposed to keep in touch with her father daily, every night when she gets to the house. She's supposed to call him when she gets out there, well, so that he knows that she made it there safe.
She's okay. Yeah, dads want to know.
You know? Mm-hmm. Andrea doesn't call her dad that night, boo.
Oh, he's not fucking around either.
Not one bit. Mm-mm.
He calls a few family members and then the police to report his daughter missing.
Her Aunt Carla busts over to the house, and Andrea's car is not there, and all the doors are locked. And so she's not there at the same time that Kenneth Carl was there. She, of course, went there after he had already left. Remember, because he was there earlier in the night when they were supposed to meet.
But he had left.
Yes. So
hanging out with a different chick.
Yeah, that's beside the point. She is not there at the same time as Kenneth, so she doesn't see him. So she goes over to Kenneth Carl's house to see if maybe Andrea went over to his house. So they're not supposed to be hanging out with each other, you know.
Now everyone is starting to get worried. She is not at any of the houses, her own, her aunt's, her boyfriend's.
Kenneth Carl and Aunt Carla go back to the house sitting home and attempt to get in. Kenneth Carl admits to her that he had a key, but he left it inside on the counter as Andrea was supposed to get there first, and he wasn't supposed to have the key, so he locked it inside the house when he left that day. There goes that fucking fly.
Steve and Andrea's dad does
Steve.
Get...
Steve. Comma.
God damn it.
Steve, Andrea's dad... He does get a missing files report filed because it had been 24 hours since he had seen Andrea. So they did take a missing report. A lot of times they don't, boot.
Right, it has to be a certain amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think she just ran away.
Exactly.
I believe it's the next day that her Kroger coworkers put together a small search party to kind of drive around town and check out areas where she might be.
Yeah, it wasn't like a grid party that a lot of people would do for missing persons. It was kind of like, let's just drive around the back roads of Lapeer and around town and see if we can find her car or anything suspicious.
During this time, Andrea's cell phone was not pinging anywhere and appeared to be shut off or ran out of battery or something.
I read that Kenneth Carl did not participate in the search because he had to work the next day. I don't know how true that is. I'm assuming the store still had to be fucking open, and I don't know. But
yeah,
people were like, oh my God, he didn't help look for her.
Right.
Oh, he's got to be guilty. He did it.
Cops are starting to do their cop thing. And
yeah, you know.
They see Kenneth Carl wearing a red University of Alabama t-shirt and gray sweatpants.
Yeah, they saw that on security film from the gas station that they stopped and get snacks at. So that's how they knew what he was wearing that evening.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually able to pull that off of surveillance information.
His cell phone does ping around his coworker's house at 10:15 that night, and it appears they could tell he left there around midnight. This info
makes sense.
Yeah, this info could be from both testimony and cell phone pings.
It seems appropriate. It's about the length of a movie. He was supposed to go over there to watch a movie. His cell phone pings over there for the same amount of time.
He has an alibi.
Exactly. Another coworker of Andrea's, his name is Jeffrey Babcock.
Don't.
He's kind of aimlessly driving around looking for Andrea or her car.
He found her car.
He found her car, all right.
Andrea's car was found at Lapeer State Game Park. It's less than 2 miles from the house sitting home.
One of the car doors was left open. The emergency brake was on, which was odd because it was broken and she didn't use it. And near her car were ashes like from a campfire. And at first it was thought that that like campfire had maybe some evidence in it.
Perhaps.
But we've been to state game parks.
Oh, there's ashes all over the place.
People are goddamn pigs.
Yep.
They fucking dump their trash. They have bonfires out there with trash.
Check this out.
What?
So when the police show up, and this is where things sound a little bit sketchy. Yeah, the police and Steve show up. Steve is sure immediately to point out the e-brake is pulled, and his daughter definitely did not ever use it.
They're like, this is...
Something's not right.
It just got sketchier. Mm-hmm. She's already missing. She blatantly isn't going to leave her car sitting with the door open and the e-brake on that she doesn't even use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm not a lawyer, boot. But I guess this gives them...
You could be.
Cause for the pause to go back to the house and break in. Like, I don't know if they need a thing now. A warrant now because...
I'm sure it hasn't changed a whole lot, but
anyways,
yeah,
it's a small county.
They can't just
like,
do it.
Whatever, we're going to go into the house now but because...
We're going to determine later that the cops in that town aren't very diligent and... They clear the first floor of the home and descend into the basement.
This is horrible. This is where Andrea was finally found. She was in the basement in the laundry area, slumped over in a chair. Her hands were zip tied, and she had an execution style bullet wound to the back of her head.
This is horrible.
Fucking pisses me off.
Obviously, this was not a pretty scene to walk into.
From what I have read, it's believed that the local police department didn't do the best job when it comes to containing the scene and evidence.
In fact, some will downright say they fucked up completely.
Evidence was collected after people had walked through the scene because they thought it was a suicide.
No.
Of course, it's a teenage girl.
Yeah, with her hands zip-tied behind
her. Killed herself. Jesus fucking Christ, people.
Basically, it sounds like maybe inexperienced police work.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah, maybe.
A little fuck up in this. A little, we didn't do our job right.
They were freaked out, didn't know how to, forgot how to follow protocol, you know.
It sounds like they're inexperienced. It's just something.
Yeah.
Forensic investigation later told us that the shooter was approximately 2.5 feet away when he ended this young lady's life.
Kenneth Carroll III, the youngster, is going to be the first person on the suspect list.
He's the boyfriend.
Of course. Yep.
Of course. And of course, he was the last to see her, really.
Mm-hmm. The cops bring Kenneth Carroll in. Now this young man is inexperienced for a 20-year-old. You can tell by just looking at him.
Seriously.
He's just a kid.
He looks very innocent and inexperienced. I'm just going to say that. Not that looks are everything, but he really does look inexperienced for his age.
Kenneth will end up giving three different versions of what happened that night to the police. I can see why and how that happened also, you know, with interrogators. I mean, they fuck with you for hours.
There's that one method they use. I forget what it's called, where they can lie to you and fuck you up. And then this kid's, he's already scared out of his mind being in there probably. And then they're going to fuck him up. Of course, he's going to tell different stories.
Yeah, that and it happened.
It did.
And his first statement was that he went to the house at 7:45. He peeked in and saw her lying on the floor in the basement. So he looked through the basement window.
That's what he says.
Okay, yeah, I get it. In the story...
It was the dog.
In the story, he says he was worried that she had committed suicide and he didn't want her family to think that she had done that. So he adjusted the crime scene.
Okay, yeah. Meanwhile, Kenneth Carroll I was calling his lawyer, Grandpa.
Oh, aye.
Their lawyer immediately calls the police department because he doesn't live right there in town. And he states that Kenneth Carroll now has a lawyer and he, you know, tells the cop some lawyer stuff on the phone. Like, you got to stop talking to my client because he now is lawyered up.
Yeah.
What and the fuck happens, Boot?
I believe that the police are supposed to, even in a phone call, tell the suspect that a lawyer has been retained for him.
Do they do that? No.
Not this department. Mm-mm. First they hang up on the lawyer. And then they said that Kenneth Carroll was busy
back.
And couldn't talk.
Yeah. He called back and said, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So the lawyer.
Brian Leggio.
Yeah, he's not in the town, like I said. So he literally had to do all this over the phone, and they were acting like goddamn children and just hanging up on him.
That sounds about right.
Oh, your lawyer called? We didn't know that. Oops. What the fucking fuck?
They don't want Kenneth Carroll III to know he has been lawyered up, and so they keep drilling him.
Because they want him to be scared and nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, Kenneth Carroll keeps talking. He doesn't even know that there's a lawyer available to him at this point, and he probably wouldn't know to stop talking even if he knew he had a lawyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I believe cops now are walking on illegal ground because they know he has a lawyer, but don't place money on this. It's me. It's us. Whatever. We're speculating.
We don't know shit.
I don't know.
Would it even hold up in court this way? I want to know these kind of things.
I doubt it, but they have to prove it.
Police eventually search Kenneth Carroll III's home, and lo and behold, they find the clothes he was wearing the night that Andrea was murdered. And they throw all the clothing in one evidence bag.
Seems like a bad move to me.
I'm just saying, that's not what they do on
the crime scene shows. Mm-hmm. They also found evidence by the car. It was a cigarette butt with DNA and fingerprints.
Yeah.
Nice. There was no semen. Or blood, just a cigarette butt.
Yeah, that's how they got the DNA. The coroner had recovered DNA from under Andrea's fingernails. Girl, good girl, Andrea.
She fought back.
And that's one of the best things you can do if you're in this situation, whether you're going to die or not. Get some fucking DNA in your nails. Scratch the ever-loving shit out of that motherfucker.
Thank you for that public service announcement.
You're welcome, because that's what brings her killer to light eventually. And it's fucking fantastic that she fought back.
Yes.
And that she ended up finding her own killer, basically.
The police department have more than just Kenneth Carroll on their list of suspects. More people have been questioned, including the dude who found the car.
Yeah. The police department also compared fingerprints and DNA to about 30 people, including Kenneth Carroll III. And none of them fucking matched.
Uh-huh.
Not even Kenneth Carls.
The coroner discovered that she had been shot.
Throwing my hands up with disgust.
Caliber.
Are you sure it's a caliber?
Well, it says caliper on here.
That would be me.
I know what a caliper is, but I don't think you can't shoot someone with a caliper. You can hit them with it.
I'm just such a gun genius. I know so much about them.
Anyway, they discovered that she had been shot with a 38 caliper, and there were zip ties on her hands, but they had been removed.
We don't know if Kenneth Carl did that or not. He said he did mess with the scene, but we don't know for sure if he did mess with the scene. During investigation, police discovered that Andrea's ATM card, her bank card, was being used at an ATM machine inside a Speedway in Burton, Michigan at 10:23 p.m. How far away is that?
That was 19 miles away, straight over on 69.
You love to drive that road, don't you?
I do.
Investigators also discovered that Kenneth Carl's phone pinged at his friend's home at that same time period. Got it? So we've got ATM ping way over here and a phone ping way over there. And the next morning, it was discovered that Andrea's card was used again to withdraw money.
Someone has her card.
It appears to be.
This time they were able to get video surveillance. The human, male or female, not determined.
You couldn't tell.
Was wearing a hoodie and shoes with a heel, tall and skinny.
You really couldn't tell. It was a very grainy video, very dark. I watched it. You couldn't see features. We need to improve video things.
Kenneth is tall, but he's not skinny. He's thick.
He's thick.
He's a big boy.
He can't even dress like he's skinny. There's just no way. He's not fat. He's just a big boy.
To wear black. It's
in
slimming.
The surveillance camera that caught that person, there was also a dark two-toned SUV that was seen driving away. I'm not for sure if it was connected, but it's a clue.
So they have weird coincidences that are happening, but they are still basically zeroing in on Kenneth Carl.
I just don't get it. During one of Kenneth Carl's interrogation, he supposedly admits to killing her, but the goddamn audio just happened to quit at that time. Boo. Oops.
No, he said he did it. It just wasn't on a recording.
We recorded everything all the way up until he admitted to doing it. And suddenly there was a fuck up in the recording. So they made him do a handwritten admission. Like it was, are you going to shit? Mine was better.
Yeah, way better.
So they did not have this admission of Kenneth Carl's on audio tape at all. It was a handwritten admission, even though they had a bunch of other audio tape of him.
Well, they think it's possible that more than one person did this. They are sure that Kenneth Carl was also a participant. So they charge him with first-degree felony murder and larceny.
Basically because the story changed. That's it. That's all they've got on them. They don't even have fingerprints on them. Prosecution. God damn it. Boot. Prosecution. Claims that there was a bloody hair found on Kenneth Carl's sweatpants, plus droplets of his own blood on his shirt.
Is that from a bloody nose? Well, he blew his nose.
That definitely means he killed her for sure.
They say that he had a key and it was just that easy to get into the house.
Defense did put up a good fight with the oddities of the case, like the ATM card that was being used, the fact that Kenneth Carl actually had an alibi and pings at that alibi's home, the SUV leaving the ATM machine, her car being parked with the e-brake on 2 miles away from anywhere.
Defense also attempted to get the jury to see that there were other suspects besides Kenneth Carl that caused doubt in the case.
Where is the fly swatter?
The co-worker, Babcock.
Jeez, that was loud. He suspiciously quit Kroger a few weeks after the murder, boot. And he was a hunter and he had guns.
Ooh.
So that could cause doubt.
For sure. Then there was Michael Garbet. Is that French?
Sure.
Okay. Who had just been unfriended by Andrea on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, there was a photo that resembled the human at the ATM.
Yep.
And he was holding a gun in the photo.
We're just going for doubts here, folks. That's mm-hmm. what the defense said. Raymond Fuller also moved out of state right after questioning and her murder. And he came back for her funeral, though.
This is sketchy.
And asked to see her wrists.
That's weird.
Dudes, if you come to my fucking funeral and ask to see my wrists, I'm coming out of the casket and I'm gonna throat punch it and I'm going to punch in the boob.
Yeah.
Because, ew.
Well, at least
so that guy, why didn't they question that guy? Why is he not in jail?
That seems
Who
odd.
Who else did the defense bring up?
David Fletcher, his own father, called in on him because he looked like the human in the ATM photo. His dad.
Yeah.
Dad.
That's busted him.
He must be a little piece of shit if his dad did that. It turned out that Fletcher was at the Speedway.
He was there, but he was fucking carjacking.
Yeah, so no wonder his dad called on him.
He's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Frederick Aaron Adams, who was Andrea's half-brother, defense brought up his addiction to drugs and his depression, and he told cops that Kenneth Carl owed a small amount of money to a drug dealer. That drug dealer was never found. And sadly, this young man ended up taking his own life. They don't know if it was suicide. They think it was an accidental overdose, though. Okay. So it was basically Andrea's half-brother.
Mm, that's really unfortunate.
There's two people in the family that are gone. Poor family.
While defense was trying to use all of these people to create doubt, they had all also been cleared with the DNA and the prints.
Yep, they were part of those people that were checked out. The trial took 12 days in the year of 2015. And eventually, the jury found Kenneth Carl III fucking guilty of first-degree felony murder.
Cell phone pings. He had the key. Yeah, he knew where it was.
He was there the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Contradictory statements. What? Why would you do that?
I get... Because he's
young and dumb.
Scared out of his fucking mind. I'd probably do contradictory statements because they'd have me all fucked up on what I was saying. Did I say that? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I'm high, dude. He was, this young kid was found guilty and he was sentenced to life without parole, boot.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
In November of 2011, the police recover the gun used in the murder of Andrea.
Holy shit balls.
Yeah, it was recovered in Utah, and according to a sworn affidavit, the gun was in possession of Mr. Chadwick Shane Mobley.
It was a 38 caliper.
He hit him with a caliper. That's pretty cool. It was a 38 caliber Colt model SA Army revolver, and forensics proved it was indeed the gun used to end Andrea's life.
Holy shit. So this guy, Chadwick Shane Mobley, had been questioned in Michigan in 2011, and then he moved out of state.
DNA technology, what?
Suspicious.
Oh. DNA technology had changed a lot, and so they ran Chadwick's DNA through the old DNA tester.
Yeah, ran it through the old testing machine.
Who matched it, Your Highness?
Oh, my God. You know Chadwick Mobley matched it.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is they can't find Chadwick Mobley now. He's 42 years old, and he knows that they are onto him. Somehow he heard that they figured out it was his DNA.
Fingered?
So, yeah. So police actually had, a Facebook group up to help with tips and shit. And so they actually got a tip from this Facebook group that spotted Chadwick Mobley in Montana.
Unlike a lot of stories, this time the police departments worked together to bring this guy in.
Well, that's amazing. Never happens.
No, usually it's like my dick's bigger than yours. And, this is my case.
But Michigan State Police and Lincoln County Sheriff Department and Lincoln County Law Enforcement.
Both from Utah.
They all work together.
Mm-hmm. They chuck down to Montana. Down? Over.
I don't know.
They chuck over to Montana and arrest their second suspect in the murder of Andrea. 12 years after she had been murdered.
That is fucking insane to me. 12 years later, Chadwick has now been charged with first degree murder, felony murder, and felony firearm.
It's not over yet.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I wrote this story. Uh-huh. We hadn't recorded it yet. I hadn't even typed it yet, but it was written in my little notebook.
Yeah.
And fucking news alert comes up about this dude. So I was all excited that they found him in Montana, right?
About this.
Dude, how can you not laugh about this? This is goddamn insane. I couldn't have asked them to write a nice little twist for the end of the story for us. But we got a nice little twist for the end of the story.
It was so great.
A private security company went down to bring douchebag back to Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chadwick fucking escapes the dudes that are bringing him back to Michigan. I'm not shitting you.
I wonder if those guys still have their jobs.
I hope they fucking don't have their goddamn fucking jobs still. Because
you
want to
pee on the side of the highway? Okay, go pee. Gone.
My nervous system. This is the kind of shit that would make me want to drink again.
What a bunch of...
You just found them after 12
incompetent
years.
People.
Finally find them, and you let them go. Yep. Can you just hear the bosses in... all kinds of offices just
grabbing their forehead.
Shit and
what?
Oh my, what? You excuse me? The fuck?
He was only free for about a day. He escaped on Sunday and they found him on Monday. Again, the community tipped off the cops and they saw this strange dude that didn't belong in their town.
In Plains. Yeah. Plains, Montana.
So they arrested him.
They re-arrested him there and apparently gave him to some capable people to bring him back up to Michigan. So now he's in Michigan. He's jailed and we are anxiously awaiting his trial.
As far as Kenneth Carl goes, Kenneth Carl.
Yeah.
Not Cole.
It's Kenneth Carl.
As far as
it says Kenneth Carl right in front of you. Jesus.
I just wondered if you did another typo and now you're fucking with me. Cole? Is it Carl? I don't know.
They actually call him KC.
Oh, KC.
KC. Kenneth Carl.
As far as Kenneth Carl goes, many people believe he is totally innocent of this crime, which could very well be. I'm starting to think that.
Dude. Come on, he was a kid.
In fact, his grandfather, who procured the lawyer for him, has an entire video out explaining their side of the story and why they believe that Kenneth Carl III is innocent.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out if Chadwick will somehow take all of the blame and...
I doubt it.
Hopefully free Kenneth Carl of this mess.
He's a psychopath. He's not going to admit to anything.
Also, in 2018, Kenneth Carl's conviction was overturned when the state courts ruled there were issues with the verdict form used.
Oh, they found
a
paperwork error.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I feel like they probably appealed a ton of that before that also, but I'm not for sure.
Kenneth Carl is on house arrest waiting his court appearance, which they believe is going to be held later this year in 2023.
So crazy. I kind of feel like he's not the kid who did it. I kind of feel like there was one person involved. Maybe he fucked with the scene a little bit, but I highly doubt it.
I understand the suicide thing, not wanting their parents to...
Yeah, but like,
She had been zip-tied?
Yeah.
So it's not suicide.
But then the zip ties had been removed.
Yeah.
So if you look up Kenneth Carl on YouTube, the first video that comes up pretty much is Kenneth Carl I, his grandpa... It gives you a really long detail of their side of the story. If you think Kenneth Carl III is innocent of this crime, you can go to www.justice4kc.com and help him out.
All one word.
It's fucking nuts. So this whole time, this young kid's been in jail, accused of his first girlfriend's murder and love of his life. There really was nothing but kind of circumstantial evidence. And of course, all that evidence is going to be there because he was there staying at the house with her. Like, what are you fucking looking for?
The name of the band.
Oh my God.
It's the next thing.
You're supposed to be paying attention.
I ran out of words on my sheet.
You are a sheet. Anyways, what do you think? Do you think he's innocent?
I think he's innocent.
I do too. I think it sucks. He spent his entire life and he spent the last 12 years in jail.
It's horrible.
And I wonder if this Chadwick dude has other shit or if this is the only one and he's just been running. Does he have other people around the world that he's taken care of?
I figure, why would you run if you're not guilty?
Well, he definitely is guilty of this.
If you run, it makes you look guilty, whether you are or not. Don't run. Well,
God bless that young lady for scratching the ever-loving daylights out of him and getting his DNA.
Yep.
Because
that's how it happened.
Busted, motherfucker, busted. And if Kenneth Carl is innocent, I'm sorry you spent that much time in jail, yo. Boot.
Yes.
God, you're distracted.
I'm looking at this.
What's our happy ending? Who's our happy
it's
ending?
It's the band I was just looking at on our sheet of paper.
For the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to pull my pants down and wave my wiener at you.
Ow! Introduce the band and let's play them.
As our happy ending tonight, we are featuring a band called Cougaran. And the song is called Little Sister.
I like it. Here we go.
Cougaran.
Stratosphere, living up with falling is the greatest fear. Stick around, but got to remember to take a breath.
Thank you for choosing Michigan Murders and Music. Please rate the show wherever you listen. Michigan Murders and Music is produced by The Boots. Episodes are researched and written by Your Highness. Edited by Your Highness. Views and opinions are the sole stupidity of us and us alone. Don't blame others, please. Listening to this podcast could quite possibly cause major problems to your earballs and definitely will mess up your kids. Permission has been given to us by the bands and we purchase our music on Bandcamp.com. Support your local music scene and all local music scenes.